radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
No Joe, just Paul. Rob Manfred is the commissioner of baseball, and he had some sort of media availability in Phoenix, Arizona. In traditional baseball fashion, there was no actual television coverage of this, so bear with us. The audio that you're about to hear was pulled from someone's cell phone in the crowd. Baseball does such a terrible job of covering itself. It really does. I'm surprised by their lack of presence on social media, especially in the video department. But hey, that's neither here nor there. Who cares, right? I'm just saying, if the sport wants to survive, I don't know, maybe get with the effing times.
Yeah, every time D'Amico Ryan's like coughs into a mic, it's on YouTube.
Right.
Like, just can we get this on YouTube at least? Maybe if you don't want to disrupt MLB Network, whatever. Whatever. Just, hey, maybe you had some special with Cal Ripken. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. But can you put it on YouTube?
Right. Because generally what they do is they play old baseball movies. So what, you wouldn't rather cover, I don't know, actual Major League Baseball?
Rookie of the Year's on.
It was literally last night when I was at McIntyre's. I'm not even kidding, Sean. MLB Network was airing Rookie of the Year.
I just picked him.
Because I was like, oh yeah, Gary Busey's in that movie. Interesting. But anyway, I don't want to make this about the way that baseball is slowly killing itself with the way it covers itself. Oh, Paul, you don't get it. The revenue's up. Whatever. Cool, dude. Like, you're losing an entire generation because you don't adapt. But Rob Manfred, commissioner of baseball, met with the media, and he was asked about the Dodgers' prolific spending this offseason. Here's what he had to say.
Look, I think that the Dodgers have gone out and done everything possible, always within the rules that currently exist, to put the best possible team on the field, and I think that's a great thing for the game. That type of competitive spirit is what people want to see. By the same token, I said this at the owners' meetings, I'll say it again, it's clear that we have fans in some markets that are concerned about the ability of the team in their market to compete with the financial resources of the Dodgers. And I think if we've been consistent on one point, it is we try to listen to our fans on topics like this. And I have heard people on this, believe me. I got a lot of emails about it.
Stay right here.
So there you go. That's Rob Manfred talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers and their prolific spending this offseason. The first part is right. That should be applauded. I get that it's annoying that the Dodgers seemingly are spending way more money. I think they have a payroll of $70 million more than the second biggest payroll in baseball. Because that's the New York Mets. I mean, it's insane how much they are spending. But it's good that an ownership group spends so that it can deliver its fans the best possible product. But as you heard Rob continue, that's where he lost me to a degree, because he's talking about how, well, fans are talking to me and they're wondering about the competitive balance of the sport. No, the fans are not talking with Rob Manfred, and I wish that Rob would call these cheapos out, these poors out. It's not harming fans. It's harming the other owners of baseball, because the Dodgers spending all that money makes the rest of baseball look like a bunch of pores. That is really what it is. I saw Jeff Passan put up a video with the quote, "What the Dodgers are doing is within the constraints of the collective bargaining agreement, but it's really the feeling of not being able to compete that is harming these teams and harming fan bases more than anything." They all have the ability to compete. Scott Boras, who was on the Foul Territory podcast, said, "You have a number of teams spending below $100 million. But last year, six teams made they were spending below $100 million, and the money that they get from the general fund that goes to all baseball teams is more than that. So they're making huge profits, and they're not putting any of that money towards the payroll. And these poor little billionaires are a huge reason that for large stretches of time, teams that have Major League Baseball teams will forget about that Major League Baseball team. Because every now and then a team will be good, and it's fun, and people jump on the bandwagon. Other times, a team that traditionally isn't good is able to put something together that's awesome and continue that success. I'd point to the Houston Astros as an example of that. You could maybe point to the Atlanta Braves and being on TBS in the 90s as an example of that. You wouldn't have expected the Braves to become what they became, but then they became what they became. Helps to have Ted Turner money. I understand that side of things, but you look across the sport and you know there are lots of teams that aren't even trying to the best of their ability. And I actually would like somebody to help Rob Manfred on that front. Because in that situation, Manfred, he does have to defend these owners. I wish he had the stones to call them out. I wish any commissioner had the stones to call these guys out. Because Manfred should compliment the Dodgers. He should. It's good that they're doing that. They are putting out the best possible product that they can. And they have found a loophole to continue to do that. More teams should be looking for that loophole. Instead, more teams complain and bitch and moan that, oh, well, we can't compete. You could try to compete. Like, trying is the first step in competing. And they won't do that. Manfred was asked about what competitive balance is in this same press conference in Phoenix, Arizona. Here's what he had to say.
It means a lot of different things. I mean, you know, quantitatively, you know, we often talk about not having repeat winners. I think that's important. You know, there are other more sophisticated measures in terms of, you know, the winning percentages and how they're spread. But maybe as important as any of those is the perception of the fan in the market. And, you know, when you take the free agent market as an example of it, right? You sign a free agent. You don't know what you're going to get on the field. He may or may not make you better. But at least during the wintertime, it generates a certain excitement that's good for your market. It gives fans the impression that you're trying. And that's important to the business as well. So there's a lot of different pieces to that phrase, competitive balance, in my view.
And he's gently nudging them there. I mean, he's trying his best. He's trying to get these other owners to spend. He said it right there. When you sign someone during the offseason who's a big-time name, you get excited. I'm sure Boston, even if the team isn't, fans are excited that Alex Bregman has joined them. They haven't had a big free agent signing like Bregman in a really long time. And obviously the Dodgers are excited with the very many deals that they have made over the last couple of years, whether it's Shohei Ohtani or Juan Soto.
Honestly, if you're a Dodgers fan, you're just like, it might be at the point where you just get the alert, you look at your phone, and you're like, sick. Like, it's not, you don't even still get excited. You're like, oh, Sasaki too. All right.
But you still would get it to a degree excited. Yeah, yeah. And now they're developing like Laker fan entitlement where, oh, yeah, it's just going to work out for us, which, hey, great to have as a fan. It's great. You're the main character, essentially, when you're spending that much money.
I mean, they're the main character of the offseason because either they're signing guys or everyone else in the league, or not everyone else, but like, you know. I don't know, half the league is bitching about how you're signing everybody.
And they won't even put their names on it. They're doing it all behind the scenes. Like, oh, there are some teams that are scared that they can't compete. Well, they should effing try. I'm seeing some defense on the Twitch here. Slopez69 says, do they have the ability? Let's not act like Milwaukee has the same money as L.A. Well, try.
I mean, well, also, they do in the NFL. They do in the NBA.
Yeah. Now,
they all find a way to spend the same amount of money.
That lends itself to the NFL and the NBA having the hard cap, and on top of that, the revenue sharing is probably better in those sports than it is in baseball, at least to this point, because baseball is still trying to figure out, with the amount of games that they play, how to best monetize streaming. You have all those networks that are falling apart. There's a lot of things going on the baseball side of things that are actual hula hoops that they have to jump through, but that does not exonerate you from not trying. And what really bothers me is that saying, like, oh, well, we don't have the ability to compete with the Dodgers. Like, it is the perfect red herring to say, oh, yeah, well, they're just spending more than anybody. What can we do? You could point at that, and you can still reap the profits. And they're getting tons of money through revenue sharing. Maybe not as much as in the other leagues, but they're still getting a lot of it. And then they cry, oh, God, why are these other teams? Why are these other teams spending more than me? Because you're not trying. Just try. Is it really that hard to try? Like, most of these fan bases that are dealing with these small market teams, I get it. Like, you're not going to be able to compete for a while, but how about compete every now and then? That's why they're expanding the playoffs, to continue to kowtow to you and your cheapness. The only way to make rich people spend is to try to big dick them. Like, that's really it. Like, I see it amongst my significantly more wealthy than me friends from time to time. Like, look what I got. Look what I got. Like, you got to shame them into it. You can't gently massage them there like Rob is trying to do. More from Rob Manfred. He was asked about the idea of disparity in baseball.
I mean, how comfortable are you with a sport that allows for that kind of disparity?
Yeah, I think that disparity, it should be. It certainly is at the top of my list of concerns about what's going on in the sport. When I say I can't be critical of Dodgers, they're doing what the system allows. If I'm going to be critical of something, it's not going to be the Dodgers. It's going to be the system.
But the system gives these guys all an escape. He should criticize the owners. They all should criticize the owners. You should criticize the owners. And obviously, here in Houston, you do have it pretty good with Jim Crane. And there are going to be limitations for a lot of ownership groups with how long they can spend a lot of money. This does sound like I'm boboing for Jim Crane to a degree here. I don't want that to be the impression. The guy has spent money over the last couple of years. Could he spend more? Sure. Has he spent it in the wrong places from time to time? Yeah, we all know that. But this is a sport where there are so many owners who get off scot-free. You don't even know the owners' names. And what are you supposed to do as a sport if these owners can hide behind the Dodgers spending and say, oh, well, what's the point? What's the point? It's a sport. It's a competition. Get to the dance. The Dodgers could choke it away. Junior Broncos is saying Dodgers fans got to be terrified that now with all these signings that they've made, how embarrassing it would be if they don't win the whole thing. For sure. Like, they're about to experience what it's like for us following the Astros. Like, when you win the World Series, oh, yeah. When you lose the World Series, you know, like, that's especially with the world against you kind of mentality that the sport and fans across the sport have taken against you. But hey, they've tried. And I hate that other teams haven't. And then they just point to the Dodgers and say, well, why bother? Oh, I'm a poor little millionaire. I'm a poor hundred of millions of dollars heir. Right? What would you call that? Like, I'm a nine-figure heir. You can do better. Yeah. And I hate to say the most annoying thing in the world, John, like, be better, but be better.
I mean, it's like Miami Marlins, their payroll this year is $47 million. It's like that.
It's insane.
It's $47 million.
Someone should
Alex
be held.
Alex Bregman's making $40 this year.
Look how fancy the stadium they play in is.
Yeah, they got a new stadium a decade ago.
Right. It's still a nice stadium.
Yeah.
That they should have brought back the crazy contraption from the Wizard of Oz or wherever it was from. But whatever, they got rid of it. But like, they have a beautiful stadium. The A's, it was kind of understandable why they weren't making any money. Their ownership group sucks. But do they not have money?
Yeah, there's eight teams in like just total payroll under $100 million.
Which is nuts. And as Boris brought up, like, they're getting that in revenue sharing. They are getting that money back. And baseball teams refuse to open their books. And Rob Manfred's never going to ask the owners to do that because I think of all commissioners in the major sports, he has the least amount of power, which is saying something because Adam Silver seems to have given all his away in the NBA. But if you've got Manfred who's standing by and he's saying what the Dodgers are doing is great, he needs to do more. He's got to point at these other teams and say, well, if you are under a certain amount for a payroll, your books should be made public. Like, that's the only way you get to justify it. So everyone gets to see the profits. They'll never do it, but that's how you shame these people into spending, just showing that they're being cheap. Because base, rich people don't like to be perceived as cheap, even if they are.
Yeah, like Jerry Reinsdorf, owner of the Chicago White Sox. I know they're terrible, but like still, dude, you're spending $62 million on your baseball team this year. You're spending more on like Patrick Williams and Nick Vucevic on your basketball. Like the, it's like two guys' salaries on your basketball teams. But mm-hmm. it's, I, if honestly, if they, if there actually is 10 teams that can't spend $100 million in this sport is dead. Like this sport is effed. Like,
I agree.
Like, it's just like if what you're saying is true, or if the defense of the owners is true, then you failed running a. What do we always say about these sports franchises? What we said yesterday about Cal McNair. It's a constantly appreciating asset.
Yes.
You failed Major League Baseball if you cannot have a league where all 30 teams can spend $100 million
and
on
they,
a team.
And that's that word you said right there. Can? They all can. And they act like they can't.
But if they're what they're saying, then this is kind of what you're saying about shaming them. It's like, then you guys are terrible businessmen. Like, you guys are terrible businessmen that you ran this product into the ground.
Clearly. I mean, they own things that are vanity projects that have somehow turned into their main source of income. And they're unwilling to actually use that vanity project to, I don't know, make themselves look cooler. Which... That's the cool part about owning these teams. Oh, you spend a little bit too much money. What, are you going to go bankrupt for spending on a guy that you actually developed in your farm system? And there's a couple of comments on the Twitch and on the text line that are saying, hey, well, the farm system, drafting and developing through that, that's still the most important way to build a roster. It is. And teams should keep the guys that they develop.
That's it.
And it's weird.
That's the part. That's the part that the Rays don't do. That's why the Rays are the Rays and the Dodgers are the Dodgers.
Well, teams just give up now, you know? And honestly, the Astros did to a degree.
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle Tucker's contract's going to be up next year. All right, well, we're not going to pay him that. Cubs haven't given him the new contract yet. There's this weird, and maybe that goes back to Scott Boras and how much power he has and all these agents pushing for these ridiculous contracts. So the players, to a degree, they're affecting this too. But why do no owners want to keep the homegrown talent that they were effing over with those ridiculous contracts where they can manipulate service time so that a guy doesn't actually earn what he's worth until he's 30 and probably isn't going to be worth what he's getting paid after that? That's done. So there's a lot of things going on here with the sport. I want to applaud Manfred for complimenting the Dodgers. I also want us to acknowledge that what the Dodgers are doing is not as big of a problem for baseball as the fact that other teams in this sport have the means to spend and they just refuse to do it. It's bull. And I'm glad the Astros don't do that often. You could argue they've done it this offseason.
But they're doing it as they're spending $200 million.
Correct, because they've made some bad decisions. But listen, you can't be scared to spend because the bad decisions might happen. And that's what it seems like all of these teams do. And hell, even some of the good teams that used to do it. The Yankees used to do this all the time. The Yankees, by the way, like they're talking about profits.
Yeah.
The Yankees can afford to pay the luxury tax that they are unwilling to go over. Like, they would be totally fine. Like, and, we can't do it. Like, shut up.
No. Everyone buys two beers and a jersey at one game and make that money back.
Yeah, essentially. So, I thought that Rob Manfred press conference was interesting. If you want to weigh in on it, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on Twitch at ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Black Bassmaster 420 says, I'd rather be smart about it than just spending money because others are. No, that's fair. But if you're one of these teams that actually stumbles into a generational player, I shouldn't assume that that player is going to be gone when his rookie contract expires. You know, if a guy's on the Pirates or the Royals or the Rays or the A's,
Marlins.
If I see a good player on that team, I assume that guy will be gone within 5 years. Period.
No, but they're being smart about it.
But That's what's crazy.
That's why the Marlins win so much, Paul. That's why the Pirates win so much. They're being smart about not spending money. These perennial bottom feeders. They're being smart but not spending money.
And it's funny because you know what? You can sell a fan base on that.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of people in my field who are smart enough to know that. Like, this is not rocket science by any means. But I saw last night a back and forth on one of the Speak for Your Pizza shows where Mad Dog Russo, who does stuff for the MLB Network, is saying like, oh, so yeah, so what the Dodgers are doing is ridiculous. And Stephen A. Smith, the Baseball Outsider, oh, the Baseball Outsider knows more about baseball than the shill, says like, this is about the owners. And like, I've been beating this drum for a while. When I was in Seattle, the chairman of the board for the Seattle Mariners, John Stanton, we would have a meeting as a station, the entire station, with the Mariners brass. And it was always so tense because there were a couple of people at the station who justifiably would question them politely on the air from time to time. They were so sensitive. And we're talking about one of the losingest organizations in baseball. And they would be sensitive when we would ask questions about like, oh, are you going to spend this offseason? And here they are, yet another offseason. Did they spend? No, they didn't. And they went to that 54% line that they had last year. And they have the ability to hide. And they put it all on the general manager, Jerry DePoto. Or they put it all on the manager, Scott Service, who they just fired, you know, for what happened last year. The collapse that they had. And it's nuts to me that we do not focus on them. Instead, we focus on the team that's doing it the right way. There are so many bad owners in this sport of all sports, and they got to be called out for using the Dodgers as an excuse to not keep the great players that they do sometimes develop, because it does happen from time to time. Oh, you don't want to spend on him? Okay, well, good luck finding that guy again. Do you have no shame that you just lost a prized asset that you home grew? Forget like how the fans feel about it, which is tough to do because you're screwing them over. The people of the community that you are a part of and are providing a service to is of sorts. How do you look at yourself like, I found this great investment and then I just got rid of them for like not even the same kind of assets. Like this was my creation. Which is, again, egomaniac. That's the way owners think. And you let this thing go and you didn't even try. You already know before the end comes that this guy's gone. It's just sad. Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. No Joe, just Paul. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around. You want to weigh in on that? You can.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stack!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. If the Houston Texans played a game in Brazil, would you go? Would you go? Because it's possible that they will play the first game of the year on Friday. To open up that season in Brazil the same way that we saw the eventual Super Bowl champion Eagles open up the season against the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love.
Now that I think about it, 50-50 chance they win the Super Bowl.
They survived the gangs of Brazil.
Yeah.
I mean, they were both teams were wearing green uniforms. If you wear... I think, actually, weren't they wearing alternates? I think they were wearing alternates.
Or at least one team was wearing
white. I think the Eagles might have been wearing black. Could be wrong. But anyway, they survived the gangs of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Adversity, overcome, they go on to win a Super Bowl. The Chargers are going to play that Friday night week one game in Brazil, which I guess is going to be a tradition, on that awful field, hopefully with a more energetic broadcaster than... the spawn of
Iron Eagle.
Noah Eagle.
Yeah.
Right. But the Texans are one of the teams that is scheduled to go on the road to play the Chargers this coming season.
Okay, so they have like a 1 in 8 chance.
There's a 1 in 8 chance it could be the Texans.
And so, it would make sense, playoff rematch.
Right.
That's normally what they like to do for the week 1 stuff.
Would you go?
No.
I've always been fascinated by Brazil. I do not think that Brazil should host any games. I do not think that they share our values, and I don't think we should be playing games in countries that do not share our values. They have a dictatorship of sorts. Free speech, suppressed to a degree. But I also have always been fascinated by Brazil. Paul, you just like butts. So?
Yeah, it's not even in Rio. It's in Sao Paulo.
You say that like you're an expert on Brazil.
Rio's the only one I know about.
Maybe Sao Paulo's better. Except for the gangs.
Yeah.
But there might be gangs in Rio,
all I
too.
Know is the favelas. Mm-hmm. They're in Rio in Fast and Furious, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. That was in the Fast and Furious. I just want to go on the tour that shows where the Fast and Furious... Well, that too. The Butts tour. But also, I want to go on the Fast and Furious around. Scenes were filmed here tour.
Yeah. Well, again, some of them were... At least appeared to be straight up in the favelas. I don't know if they
you don't think I could
go in there and start taking pictures.
You don't think I could walk through a favela and start taking pictures as a white guy?
I saw a video yesterday where it was like, you want to know how big of a deal Michael Jackson was? Like some drug kingpin let Michael Jackson like film safely in the favelas and film a music video in the favelas of Brazil.
If Michael Jackson can, why can't I?
That's a good point.
Some would argue that I have a pastier complexion than Michael Jackson eventually did.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe right at the end he got you, but I think you lead for most of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was winning, but then Michael Jackson won in the white-off. Continuing around the National Football League, Matthew Stafford's future in L.A. is in doubt. Seems like the Giants are the front runners to go get him. Also, Cooper Kupp still hasn't been traded. I'm curious as to if Kupp gets released. If he gets released, I think the Texans should make a phone call. But just a phone call. Just a phone call.
Yeah, see what his market's at.
It's been a couple of years since the awesome 2021 season.
Because what you're really asking him to do is to be, you know, if Robert Woods is like a C-, you're asking him to be like an A- version of Robert Woods, where it's, hey, you know this, you know what we're trying to do here. You're a good blocker because if you're in that system, if you're a Rams wide receiver, especially.
I thought you were saying he's a good blocker because of the color of his skin. But okay, that's fine.
Well, I know he hustles.
Yeah, I think you're
coach's kid.
It's a little racist against
white
people.
No, Robert Woods is a good blocker.
And I know he actually is.
I know you don't see color, but he is not the same color.
Okay, I thought you were just making assumptions that Cooper Kupp likes blocking because he's white. Okay.
Despite being white, he's a good blocker. How about that?
Oh, so we'll see what happens with Cooper Kupp. But I'm with you on that. The familiarity with the scheme definitely makes him a possibility, right? There you go. More around the National Football League. We saw Aiden Hutchinson running. Remember, he broke his leg last year. Wonder where the Lions would have ultimately ended up had they had Aiden Hutchinson for that game against the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. Would things have been as bad if they had one of the best defensive players in the league?
They could have probably. I would say that they could have beaten the Commanders with Hutchinson.
It was more about Goff than it probably was
That's true.
The Lions' defense. But if the Lions' defense had Aiden Hutchinson, who suffered that gruesome leg injury, I am curious if they would have gotten it done. This year, it's going to be tough with both their coordinators. Ben Johnson, now the head coach of the Bears, and Aaron Glenn, the head coach of the Jets, moving on. But Aiden Hutchinson also apparently has been flirting with Myles Garrett. Remember Myles Garrett? Aggie legend. The guy who put in for a trade request with the Browns, who say that they're not trading him. Aiden Hutchinson has talked with Myles Garrett, and they talked about what they could be. Said Hutchinson, we were talking what it could be like. And although it's probably unlikely, I would be thrilled to play next to him if it were to happen.
All right, Aiden, cut that last part out.
Welcome to February NFL.
I know. It's not even the legal tampering period. What are we doing?
That is tampering. Oh, the 49ers are already talking about Deebo Samuel in the past tense. George Kittle said, yeah, we have to build our offense differently without Deebo.
Well, that's not good.
Texans?
Lower on the list than Cooper Kupp.
He's off the list. You got to trade for him. That's where I'm at.
Oh, yeah, he probably won't get cut. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, I don't think
he I was just thinking it's just like, yeah. No,
but
you're right.
Someone, I'm curious as to what he'd go for. Second round pick, I think it would probably end up being bad. More around the National Football League. The Chiefs want Travis Kelce to be back next year, but they want him to be a situational playmaker and a mentor to the tight ends. That's kind of an insult.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not... And it's also, like, not good if I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm like, wait, so they want him to be, like, a part-time player, part-time
right.
coach?
Same salary, too?
He's going to be the Jerry Hughes of the Chiefs tight end room?
Right. And it's funny, too, because he's had good games before. The situational playmaker, though, it's a very weird thing to say.
I don't know. I don't love that.
Like, they only plays third downs or something like that? Kelce on retirement, I'm going to take some time to figure it out, and I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be a wholehearted decision, and I'm not half-assing it, and I'm fully there for them. Unlike in the Super Bowl, where you could definitely argue that once the going got tough, Travis Kelce got good.
Once Taylor Swift got booed, he was just
heartbroken.
Shook. Yeah,
per sources. Andy Dalton back with the Carolina Panthers. That's fun. 2-year deal. He thinks they're building something special.
They sure are. I feel like he could have. I feel like he's a. He's the type of backup quarterback that you want, right? It's like Andy Dalton, if he comes in for two games, we're not completely screwed.
Right.
Seems like a good guy.
Yeah. KD legend.
KD high school legend.
Great hair.
Yes, great hair. Come back at the year with the hair.
I want to see him bring the spiky back. The spike looks
good. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I paused.
Yeah.
Because that's what I still picture when I think of Andy Dalton. Of recent vintage, yes, great hair.
The Cincinnati Bengals are posturing as if they will give Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson long-term deals. And there was some controversy online over something that T. Higgins' mother posted where she, unprompted, said, "Selfish bastards," on X. When she was asked if this was in reference to the Bengals, she said no.
There's a lot it could be about.
She must be talking about our government.
Or Cincinnati Reds owner not extending.
I don't know about that.
Not extending Ellie De La Cruz.
That would be funny, but I don't think it's that one. Selfish bastards, I'm guessing that was a political take. But everyone wanted to believe that it meant that T. Higgins wanted out of Cincinnati, and they were very disappointed to find out.
A Bengals fan just being like, oh, thank God. She's talking about our government.
She just hates our president.
Not Mike Brown.
That would be a difficult spot to be if you're like a Cincinnati Trump fan. You're like, well, T. Higgins is staying, but...
How mad should I be about this?
His mom hates the president. What do I do here?
Yeah. It's the Larry David.
Yeah, yeah. Please do not comment on that post on social media. Please do not say...
You'll only make it worse, no matter what.
Right. You'll perhaps chase T. off. The NFL draft is in Green Bay this year. That sucks. And to the surprise of no one, Shedeur Sanders plans to skip it.
I would do the same exact thing if I was a first-round pick. I'd just be like, you know what? I'll do it from my house.
This will be the most skipped draft ever.
Yeah.
Green Bay. It's out of the way. There's no real direct flight unless you're flying private.
I wonder if the NFL will just have hotel rooms for, like, 10 guys. Because they need some people in the green room. Right, so they have to. I imagine they'll have to entice like Cam Ward to show up.
Yeah, I think so. What do you do though?
Because it would also be funny if it's like the Zoom draft where they're all like the 2021 where everyone's in their living rooms.
I did a Gallant Says live stream once, and I literally just dove into all of the things that you can do in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and oh boy, you know, high on the list is this improv troupe.
Ooh.
Couple of weird parks.
Wow. Maybe did Shredder make a mistake not going?
Hey, you won't be learning about the history of Wisconsin. That's
sure. It's super fun in late April, early May. I hope not.
Probably snows.
Yeah.
Probably there's still a chance. It snows in Syracuse, New York sometimes in May. So there's a chance of snow always in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That is the 10-minute drill. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. No Joe. On Gallant and George this afternoon. We are 35 days away from the Astros kicking off their season. First pitching their season. Kicking off sounds weird. It's not football. First pitching their season against the New York Mets. Sorry, I'm having a tough time saying this because I'm so used to saying, we're counting you down to pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. No, they're already there. They're all there. But what's going on over the weekend for the Astros in spring training? And another new Astro saying all the right things. Stick around. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is a tinfoil hat Thursday. Just read a very interesting piece about the gold reserves at Fort Knox. Skimmed through it. But I guess something that was said today by the president and Elon Musk is that they're going to go to the Fort Knox and they're going to see if the gold's still there.
Apparently, there might not be gold there?
It might not be gold there. There might not be gold there. The gold reserve might be gone.
What
Trump's comment on it was, if we go there and it's not there, we're going to be really, really upset.
I hope it's like the end of second mention of Furious Five or Fast Five, where the Rock at the very end opens up the vault, sees that it's empty.
Right.
Vin Diesel, they made the switcheroo.
They made the switcheroo. Maybe that's where the Dodgers are getting all the money to do these deferred payments. They stole from
Fort Knox.
Fort Knox.
Ipe Mizuhara, maybe.
Listen, the Dodgers aren't above.
He was going to squeal, and that's why they locked him up. Those gambling debts. He was trying to pay with gold bricks. He was trying to pay his bookie.
That would be the best way to do it, probably. Buy gold. One of the funniest things about this, we never really dove into the phone call that Ipe Mizuhara made to Shohei Ohtani's bank. Impersonating Shohei Ohtani. They sound nothing alike, but obviously, what's some random bank teller on the phone going to think when this person's calling them? Even if this is a classy, sophisticated bank that Shohei would put his money into.
Yeah, deals with million-dollar wires to accounts, yeah.
But it was very, very low-budget effort by Mizuhara here, where he calls it, he's like, yeah, I'm Shohei Ohtani. I just need this money.
I need a car. It was like a car loan for a friend.
Right. I need a car loan for a friend. Which, little suspicious.
Very suspicious.
Just a little suspicious.
Not exactly ready to join the Den of Thieves crew.
Not exactly built for this.
No.
And guys, guess what? We are 35 days away from the Astros opening day against the New York Mets on March 27th. Give me that bone.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
It's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
Jose Altuve is playing a lot of left field. Joe Espada, manager of the Houston Astros, was asked about Jose Altuve and what he's doing in left. How does that arm look? Does he have the arm strength to throw home? This is what Mr. Espada had to say about Jose. It's good. That's my bad, Sean. I should have told you in the commercial break. Here's Joe Espada.
How do you think his arm will profile out there? Does he, for lack of a better phrase, have to stretch him out because of, he's been sidearm and all that? I mean, a lot of fans are wondering how, because they're like, well, we haven't seen him throw. So,
well, he's been throwing for 13 years. Like,
from a different position.
He's a much longer throw. And you know, he does have, you know, enough arm strength to play left field. He hasn't showcased this because he didn't have to. But you know, in some relay throws, he has shown arm strength and accuracy. But we, you know, we are working with through those mechanics to make sure that he has enough accuracy and leverage to make those, to finish some of those throws.
Does that make you feel confident? Sometimes he has shown the ability to throw it into the infield.
No. Also, how much he was trying to get out of it at the beginning was, well, he's been throwing for 13 years.
Right.
It's like, yes, but he's been throwing 60 feet. Now he's going to have to throw 200.
Right. It will be interesting to see how that looks, how accurate he'll be. I really don't want to see a throw home from left field that looks like what I was doing when I was playing baseball back in the day in Little League. Sometimes the ball would sail, let's just say, when I was throwing it in from left field.
Oh.
Not often, but it'd be like once every like 10 throws. If I was trying to throw it home, I'd throw it and the ball would just like completely rise up on me. Yeah, going at like a 45-degree angle. Whoops!
Yeah, I was hitting a lot of cutoff men. So Altuve, I know what it's like.
Hey, at least you hit the cutoff man.
Yeah.
I was throwing it God knows where. YOLO! Was Brett farming it out there.
Woo! Will Levis before your
time. Will Levis before my time. That's great. More from the Astros at spring training. Christian Walker weighed in on the vibes.
You guys are nice. Guys are great. Staff's great. It's easy to tell that there's a good energy here. Seems like a good bond. There's a good thing going in this clubhouse. I'm excited to try to find my part. I've got to find my place. I'm not the rah-rah, you know, halftime speech guy, but I do like to lead by example, and hopefully they're receptive to that. You know, today everybody was just kind of on our own schedule, just getting out there and moving around. But as camp goes on, I like to talk to everybody individually as a group. My job at first is to make sure my infielders feel comfortable throwing to me, and I want guys to be able to, you know, feel confident that they don't have to make a perfect throw every time. You know, that's my job, to pick them up on the back end, and a bunch of good athletes in this infield, and you know, I'm excited to be a part of it. Always a great energy, a fun place to hit. The crowd, even if you're on the other side, the crowd's always great. So, I'm excited to have them cheering for me this year.
Hell yeah. Christian Walker, pander a little more. Good vibes alert. Good vibes guy. Yeah.
Pro's pro right there.
Unlike Rafael Devers, although Devers is just talking about his own team. Unlike Tristan Casas, who's being a dink to Alex Bregman as he joins them. Christian Walker's coming in and he's being welcomed. Because the Astros clubhouse, a lot of people leave, but it's always one brotherhood. Hashtag family. Hashtag built for this. It's built for new faces coming in.
Yeah. Christian Walker, I'm not ready. Not ready, because it's still his spring training. I think he's an Astro.
I do too.
I think he's earned his, well, they don't wear pinstripes anymore.
He's earned his blue and orange.
He's earned his Space City Connect jersey.
Which we have yet to see.
Which we don't know if they're, or we don't know what they'll look like.
I think it's going to be brick red. I think they're bringing that back.
See, I heard, and this is just like, again, just things that you hear and people that go, ooh, hearing this, hearing that. I've heard that it might be like astronaut or NASA like themed in some way.
The
like
last the, one was.
But like more like NASA like spacesuit kind of like the old Rockets one when they had Westbrook.
I get what you're saying, but the last uniforms were supposed to be.
Yes. They were also space themed.
Right. No, I think they got just a full of Houston Texans and just pander to culture from 30 years ago.
Just a what's called like retro throwback or whatever it's called, where it's like a revamped throwback.
I want the brick red star, but I want purple. There's only one team in baseball that has purple now that the Devil Rays are no longer the Devil Rays. They only had that the first couple of years. There's only one other team. It's the Rockies. Purple is an open market.
Yeah. You'd sell so many
hats. You really would.
You'd sell
I would actually buy it. I would buy the purple hat.
I think everyone on the show would buy it.
I would buy the purple jersey. Purple variants of the brick red. We know what it's about. You don't have to say. It's about.
I'm not saying you should put a styrofoam cup on it. I'm just making it just be an Astros jersey that's purple.
Would be kind of cool though.
It would be. I think they already sell those hats. They're not MLB licensed, but I think they sell those hats.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. So getting closer and closer, guys. 35 days away from opening day. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. No Joe George. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. I think this guy's the most excited, the guy you should be most excited about for the Houston Astros going into this year. Yeah, I'm not talking about Yordan Alvarez, who might get 40 or 50 home runs for Joe Espada. Not talking about Jose Altuve playing in left field. Talking about this guy. You'll find out next. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.